Let's open our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 30. We're continuing our study, wonderful study through the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 30, we're going to be in verse 25 tonight. I want to talk to you about Laban, Uncle Laban. I mean, you wouldn't want this man to be in your family, okay? And he is a case study all in himself. And of course, you know that Jacob is there with Laban, and you know, he's not really a servant. He's more like a slave, if you will, and he's been slaving all of these years. So let's look at our text tonight, beginning in verse 25 of Genesis 30, and let's begin. It says, "And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I've served you. Let me go.'" That's a good word, isn't it? "Let me go, for you know my service, which I have done for you." Now, all of the children, remember the last time we were together, that had been born now to Rachel and Leah and the two handmaidens and so forth. So he's got a whole tribe, if you will. And he's saying, "Listen, I worked 7 years for Rachel. I worked 7 more years for Leah. And I want to leave. I want to go home. I want you to send me away." And he said, and Laban said to Jacob, "Oh, please stay, if I've found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Is this sad or what? Laban didn't go, he wasn't saying, "I'm brokenhearted because you're about to take my daughters and all of my grandchildren away and all that." No, he said, "I didn't want to lose you. You're the money man. You know, you're the greatest worker I've ever seen. As a matter of fact, I'd rather just keep you chained to the flock, you know, out there," and so forth. And so he didn't want to lose him. And God blessed Laban. Isn't that something? God blessed Laban. Why? Because of Jacob. And only because of Jacob. Christian, listen to me tonight. We need to say who we are in Christ Jesus. Not only do we need to say who we need to know who we are. Amen? Amen. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We are the children of God. You are sons and daughters of the living God. And if you died tonight, and if you're born again, you would go into the presence of the Lord and be with Him forever and ever. Listen. We need to know who we are, but we also need to know what happens to those who are around us. Whenever you go into your workplace or visit your relatives that maybe they don't know the Lord, and or you're in, say, college or high school or whatever, do you know that the moment you walk into your workplace, a blessing just walked in? What did it say here? It says, God said to him, he said, "Listen, I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." God blesses others because of you. You see, when you walk into the workplace, do you know something? You may be the only light of the world that's there. You may be the only one who's a salt of the earth. You know, God would have spared Sodom if he could have just found 10 righteous people, but he didn't. So there's something that happens about Christians when you go to work. You don't have to brag about it. That'd be a terrible thing. But you know what? Goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, and whether you feel like it or not, God says, "My goodness and my mercy is following you every day of your life." And it follows you right into the classroom, right into the workplace. Oh, church, please believe that. And then look what he said. And then Laban said, "Well, I don't want you to go," and so forth. He says, "Name me your wages, and I'll give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock have been with me? For what you had before I came was little." In other words, it was nothing. "And it has increased to a great amount. And the Lord has blessed you." Jacob didn't take any credit for anything. Now he said, "The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house? Have you not seen all these kids crawling around out there?" He says, I need to start my own business, if you will, and take care of them. And so Laban said, well, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, I love this, "You shall not give me anything." And then immediately Laban, you know, he started cleaning out his ears, you know, because he wanted to make sure that he was hearing the right things. He said, "No, you'll not give me anything. If you will only do this for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks." Now listen to Jacob's plan. He says, "Let me pass through all of your flock today. removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. Now listen, I promise you, have you ever had someone explaining something to you and you're looking to them like, did the cheese, is a cheese sliding off the cracker here? You know what I'm saying? And he's just looking at him like in disbelief going, boy, do you know what's coming out of your mouth? Jacob says, he's saying, in other words, all of the rejects, if you will, because those were the minority. I mean, it was mainly white sheep and brown or black goats and so forth. And sometimes they had off colors, but there was always few there in that land. And so he says, I'll take these right here, which will be the fewest in number. Now let's keep going because it gets better. And Jacob says, so my righteousness, or literally, so my honesty will answer for me in time to come. And when the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. So Laban, when you look at my flock of sheep and all those goats, if you don't see spots before your eyes, know that then I have stolen them from you and you can come and take them away. And listen to what Laban says now. And Laban said, oh, if it were according to your word. Laban, listen, he felt like he just won the Texas lottery. That's exactly what he's doing here. And he says, and so Laban removed, look what he did, not Jacob, but Laban. So Laban removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and he gave them into the hand of his sons, into Laban's sons. And then look what Laban did. He took all the flocks, right? All the ones that were speckled and all the off colors. And he took them 60 miles away. 3 days journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Now listen, what does this mean? It means this, that Jacob was left with absolutely nothing. In other words, he was telling Laban, okay, all of the future little lambs that are speckled and spotted and whatever, he said, those are the ones that'll be mine. So he was left completely empty-handed. And it says here in verse 37, look what Jacob did. And Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and the chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive, or in other words, mate immediately, go into heat. And when they came to drink, so the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked and speckled and spotted. Just a normal day in Haran. You know, you start reading this right here, and that's enough to, first of all, you try to read it, you get tongue-tied. And then, you know, you look at that, how in the world did that happen? Do you know that there's actual books have been written on these verses, trying to figure it out? I mean, if you read those books, it would depress you, you know. I mean, there's those that believe that this is what they call prenatal influence. In other words, he would take the tree limbs, whatever, and he would peel stripes on them. And then when the little sheep and all of them or whatever, they came up to water, they would look at that wood in the trough where the watering was, and they go, and somehow there was like a prenatal transfer going on and saying, I can't have a little white lamb, you know. Well, you know, there's something to be said about that. I mean, you know, have you ever, you know, there are things that, you know, you can start talking to some people and you can say something and you notice how they just blush. Something is, and they blush and their face goes all red or, you know, like I remember one time, I mean, things that happen out here affect you here. I remember blood has never bothered me in my life. Never. I can handle anything. I mean, I helped my grandmother's when my little dog Rennie was cut in half with a plow. You know what I mean? I held him in my arms when my grandmother took everything out, washed everything, sewed everything back up, and didn't bother me a bit. Well, I was there with my wife, and they had to take her blood one day. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I just, something happened. You know, and I mean, I never had anything come on me like that, but there's some kind of transference that goes on. In other words, if I said to you, you know, I said, here, bite into this lemon right now, you know, and you know how that it has an effect on you. And even though right now you don't have a lemon, do you understand? So am I saying this is what happened? No, I just thought I'd add that to the sermon. It sounded pretty good. Now let's look at verse 40. Then Jacob, look what he did. He separated the lambs and he made the flocks face forward and streaked in all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them in Laban's flock. And it came to pass when the stronger livestock conceived that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them there. So the feeble were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. That's pretty smooth, wasn't it? I mean, you start thinking about that. Now, we're going to really understand what happens in the next chapter, okay? This is God, let's put it that way. And he was wise. Listen, he knew how to take care of the sheep and so forth. It says in verse 43, it says, thus the man, meaning Jacob, became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. Now listen, he did that in only 6 years, okay? So in other words, he'd been serving Laban now for 20 years, and he was exceedingly prosperous. And you know what? Laban doesn't like this at all. So in verse 1 of chapter 31, it says, and Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed, it was not favorable toward him as before. Now, watch what God does. And then the Lord said to Jacob, oh, it'd been a long time. You know what? Sometimes I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I haven't heard you in so long. I want to hear you, that inner voice. You understand what I'm saying? Where the Lord quickens something to you and you say, oh, Lord, you know. And he had been so long since Jacob had heard the voice of God. And it says, and the Lord said to Jacob, time to go home, buddy. Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Aren't you glad tonight that whatever God commands us to do, he enables us to do? Always. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us for every situation. And I tell you what, there's tough days that are out here in this world right now. There are things that are happening. I don't want to go there, but boy, I'll tell you, there's things that are happening on our planet and the church is asleep. But anyway, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock. In other words, he got them away from the house, if you will, and got them into a private meeting. And he said, listen, he said, I see your father's countenance. It's not favorable toward me as it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But look what God did. But God did not allow him to hurt me. Laban, he was a mean man. Not only was he a mean man, he was a greedy man. And he didn't care who he hurt. He wanted what he wanted and he would do it any way he could. And he was constantly changing the wages of this man, Jacob. Can you imagine working for someone for 20 years and they change your wage or try to change your wage 10 times on you? Oh, how horrible. And it said in verse 8, if he thus said, well, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. Isn't it like the Lord? And if Laban said, well, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. See, it was God all along that does the blessing, isn't it? You know, we can't take credit for anything. You can't take credit for anything that's happened. You know, you say, well, you know, I built a great business or whatever. God bless you for doing that. You know, you need to be a hard worker and build that great business, but do it for the Lord because he's the one who gives you the strength, the wisdom, and he's the one who blesses you. Amen? It all belongs to God. Everything belongs to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And so here it was God that blessed Jacob. And then it says, and it happened in verse 10, at the time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. Now he's sharing this with his wives. He said, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and speckled and gray spotted. And then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. That is a great word, isn't it? Listen to me. God sees everything that we do. He sees everything. There's not one thing hidden from the Lord, but he also sees what others are doing to us. God loves us. You know, some of you have gone through a painful time, perhaps, or people have hurt you. You know, the Lord knows that, and they're not going to get away with it. That's why I can always be at such peace. You know, I'm going, whatever, you know, I mean, go get a life or something, okay, but whatever. But the fact of the matter is that, you know what? God knows, God sees, he sees my heart, he sees your heart. God knows everything that is happening. And he says, I've seen all that Laban is doing to you. And God knows what those other people, maybe at your workplace, he knows when a spouse is not treating the wife or the vice versa, the husband is not treating each other the right way. Oh, we need to speak good things to one another, don't we? You know, the tongue can destroy a marriage or the tongue can build a marriage. Oh, how we need to watch our words. May I tell you that this place should be the most loving place, the most loving church in this city, that we should reach out to one another. There should never be complaining here. Someone was complaining to me about the speed bumps, and I said, why are you complaining about that? I said, if a little one got ran over, would you be complaining then? Well, that wasn't very nice. Well, it was nice to me. You want our kids to get smashed by some car because people don't want to slow down? What's wrong with us where we would complain about a safety thing? Dear Lord, we put locks on our doors to, why? To keep people out. We put speed bumps out there so people won't drive 60 miles an hour in the parking lot. Amen. Let's don't complain. Let's don't complain about anything. God has given us so much here. Amen. Oh, God is so good. And I thank the Lord for what he's done here. You know, I've labored one third of my life here. And I thank God that he's allowed me to labor here. Among you, among all the people I've known all the years and people that's come to Christ and families that have been restored and changed and healed and delivered. I thank God for all that he's done. I thank the Lord when we didn't have a parking lot and there was nothing but mud out there. And every Monday I'd have to come in because it was blue carpet. Y'all remember that light blue carpet? Probably none of you do, you know, but I do. I'm in counseling over it still. Every time it rained and the Sunday crowd would come in, like if it rained on Sunday, this place, you saw brown footprints all over this church. I'd come in with a brush because back then we used to clean it ourselves, you know what I mean? And I'd just get it all cleaned up for the Wednesday service. Listen, I thank God that we had a place. I remember the day that I stood right there on these steps, right there, when we moved from that building 19 years ago. And I said, oh, this place is so big. And now I look at it and say, it is so small. I'm so thankful to the Lord. God knows everything that's happening to you. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows when you're down. He knows when you're depressed. He knows when you're despondent. He knows when you feel like there's no way out. And he says, oh no, I know all that's happening to you. I'm so thankful for the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 139:2, it says, God, oh, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Listen, God is so in love with each of you that this morning when you woke up, he went, Harley, there he is. He's waking up, getting out of the bed, just like he does every morning. And when you get home tonight, he's going to say, oh, there he goes. He's getting ready to nap time. He marks that. Just the most casual things in our life, he marks because he loves us. Just like any dad would, any father. He's our heavenly father. I'm so thankful that he loves us. And I'll tell you something else. I'm so thankful that God knows what we face every second in our life. And some of the fears that you would not even say to your husband or wife or friend or whatever, God knows them. He knows what you're going through. And you may feel like, God, where are you? That I feel so empty tonight. I feel so lonely tonight. I feel like I don't even know that. I don't even feel your presence anymore. God says, oh, no, I haven't left you. nor will I ever leave you. Amen. Oh, God says here, he said, I've seen all that Laban is doing to you. And he says, I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Remember all the way back there in chapter 28, where God first appeared to Jacob there. And when he was sleeping on that little pillow, the rock there, and God appeared to him and made all these promises. And look what God says. He says, arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. And then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Let me add to scripture, not a penny. Laban's taking it all. He says, and it's, are we not considered strangers by him, meaning their own father? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, look what Leah and Rachel say. Whatever God has said to you, do it. Now that's the kind of woman, men, that you want to marry. Amen? Whatever God tells you to do, what God says. Not what the world says, do what God says. And then it says, and then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on the camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, and he acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols, the household gods that were her father's. Now, you know, I don't know why she did this. I mean, there are those that believe, well, it was because if you had the idols, it means you were the one who would receive the inheritance. Well, there wasn't anything to get. Laban was going to keep it. And or could have been that she thought these idols were her protection. I don't really know. She grew up in a heathenistic land and a heathenistic family, if you will. And that's just the way it was. A greedy, idolatrous home. Laban was very greedy. So we're not really told here. I'm not fully understanding why. But I do know this. It says, and Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, and that he did not tell him that he intended to leave. So Jacob, what's he doing? He's returning now home just the way he left. He's running away. And so he waited until Laban was out there way in the fields shearing all the sheep. And he says, okay, girls, let's hit it. We're going to leave now. And so he fled with all that he had. And he arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. And look what he did now. And then Laban took his brethren with him, pursued him for 7 days' journey. And he overtook him in the mountain of Gilead. Now, this wasn't a pleasure visit, okay? He wanted to kill him. And he says, but God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Don't you just love the Lord? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jacob was probably looking over his shoulder all that time as he was fleeing. You understand? And God has already taken care of the problem. And you know what? God is always taking care of our problems. You see, we feel that we're going to take care of our problems ourselves, and we do that by being obedient, yes. But the truth of the matter is, God's already taken care of it. God doesn't have a problem speaking to unbelievers, believers. You know, he said, I'll give this guy a dream, and be careful now. You better be very, very careful what comes out of your mouth. You know why? Because Jacob belongs to me. And do you know that you belong to the Lord tonight? And look what it says. And so Laban overtook Jacob. And now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? You know, I can't help it, but I just want to think, you know, you're making me throw up here, okay? I mean, I'm just, you know, here comes the wage changer, okay? Trying to use a little guilt on Jacob. He says, and look at verse 27. Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs and tremble and harp. Yeah, and charged Jacob 7 more years of labor because of the party, right? Oh, listen, Laban was a bad bad person, if you don't mind my saying that tonight, you know? And he's sitting there, he's lying through his teeth. He wasn't going to throw a party. He wasn't going to do any of those things. You know, he's a cheapskate. You know, I had two uncles. I had more than two uncles, but I had two uncles who were rich, Uncle Bill and Uncle Tom. And they had bought the farm that I grew up on as a little boy before I moved to Fort Worth, there with my grandparents. And Uncle Bill and Uncle Tom were so tight. I mean, it was pathetic. Here they had all this money. So Uncle Tom, who lived in Chicago, he was coming down to visit Uncle Bill, who lived there on the farm. And so, you know, and I mean, it was wonderful, the farm. They had all the beehives were still out there from Granddaddy, you know, and all that stuff. And the chickens were everywhere, so they had a big freezer. And he said, yeah, come on in. I called him, said, Uncle Tom, or Tom, come on. And I'm going to feed us a great chicken, fried chicken dinner, Texas style. So, and Tom shows up, and I'm there too, you know, man, I'm ready for the chicken. And you know what my uncle did? He went in there and he served only chicken necks. Have you ever tried to eat a fried chicken neck? And I'm waiting for some chicken. But that's how much they were both so tight. They really were. And they hated one another, I guess. I don't know what the deal was, but I never didn't quite understand that. Chicken necks, man. And we had all those chickens to eat. I was hungry. You gnaw on a chicken neck when you're a kid, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So that's the way Laban was. And it says, you know, and you did not allow me to even kiss my sons, meaning my grandsons or my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in doing so. Now let me say something to you. This is sad, very sad to me, because you know what? Laban, who's never going to see these kids again, he has no idea that the 12 tribes of Israel are going to come from them. Amen? He has no idea the plan of God for their lives at all. And not only that, may I say that he could really care less if he kissed them goodbye or not? I know that from Scripture. You know what his real concern was? Look at the next verse here. He says, it's in my power to harm you. That was his true motive. But the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good or bad. And now, watch this. Here's the answer to what he's really wanting, what he's really missing. And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? You see, that's what Jacob really wanted. You know, earlier in the scripture where it says that Jacob had learned by experience that God had blessed him because of Jacob. Well, in the Hebrew where it says learned by experience, that word can mean, and well, it does mean, by incantations or by divination. See, he was an idol worshiper. And so these idols meant the world to him. How would you like to have a God that can be stolen? You ever think about that? You know, this is really, you know. And so he didn't care about the flocks or his grandsons or his granddaughters. He wanted his gods. And then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. That's why I left. He said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force, and with whomever you find your gods, not Jacob's gods, but Laban's gods. He says, don't let him live. In other words, execute them in the presence of your brethren right now. Identify what I've yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and Leah's tents and the two maids' tents, and he didn't find them. Then he went out to the Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. And now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent but did not find them. And she said to her father, oh, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for it's the manner of women is with me. In other words, it was that time of the month and so forth. And he said, and he searched, but he did not find the household idols. Now, 20 years have passed, okay? Remember, he served him for 20 years. And Jacob, I like Jacob. I think Jacob was really a patient man, and he loved the Lord. All this time that he'd been away, he was growing with God, growing in faith and godliness, understanding that God was really real. And now he can't take it anymore. He's getting ready to just explode. Watch this. And then Jacob was angry. That word literally, the root word there means he was ready to tear something apart, tear Laban apart, if you will. And he rebuked Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock." In other words, I paid to eat. I bought from there. You never gave me anything. You never fed us. He says, "That which was torn by beast," he says, "I didn't bring to you." Look what Jacob said. He said, "I bore the loss of it." But look why he bore the loss of it. "Because you required it, Laban, from my hand. Whether stolen by day or stolen by night." In other words, Jacob had to pay for it. He paid for it. If someone came in and took it, he suffered the loss himself in 20 long years. And he says in verse 4, he says, "Oh, and there I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and sleep departed from my eyes." Jacob said, "I protected your flocks, your sheep, your goat, your cattle. I took care of them when it was freezing and when it was so hot that it nearly consumed me." He said, "I was faithful in all that I was doing. And thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. And you've changed my wages 10 times. In other words, you tried to cheat me 10 times. And unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham," and I like this, "and the fear of Isaac." Isn't it good to fear the Lord, the living God, the only true God? He says, "and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed." And look what it says. "God has seen my affliction, the labor of my hands, and he rebuked you last night." Oh, church, how good it is to know that God is for his people. We're entering into a year that many may be questioning that. The things that are going to be coming there in the Middle East and the things that are happening right before our eyes. The way that Russia and China, the things that are happening, but I don't want to get off onto that right now. But let me just say this, God is for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Who can stand against God? Listen, we belong to the living God. We are the church of the living God. God is for you. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 56, verse 9, I believe it is. He says, "This I know." He says, "I know it inside and out." He says, "God is for me." He's for you tonight if you're suffering. He's for you tonight if you're backsliding. He's for you. And he is going to pull you around to himself. Boy, I tell you, if you're running away from God, the best thing you can do is turn around and just run right into his arms. Amen? With all of your problems, with all of your hurts, with all of whatever you're doing, run to him and just say, "Oh, God, help me." Listen, there's not a child that comes home and says, "Oh, Dad, I'm in trouble." And you say, "Oh, that's your own fault." Well, a lot of parents do that, I guess, maybe today. I don't know. But I know God won't do that. God would never do that. He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all compassion. His mercies are new every day. Amen. So I look at this and I say, "Oh, Lord, you're so good. You're for me. You're for us." The Bible says in Isaiah 41, 14, God says, "I will help you. I will help you." Sometimes I just go to that verse and read it over and over. "I'll help you, Bill. I put my name there. I'll help you. I'll always help you." The Bible tells us in Isaiah 41:13, God says this. He says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand." You've heard me quote that so many times. Hold your right hand. I love that. Just like a little boy or a little girl, like a dad, say, "I'm going to hold your hand." And then it says, "Saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I will help you." You know, there's so many decisions sometimes that have to be made. And may I, in all sincerity and honesty, and just be a little, well, as I always am, truthful, transparent. Sometimes decisions can just overtake you, can't they? Where there's so many things to decide, you just want to go sit in a room by yourself and just talk to the Lord because you're afraid somebody else is going to come and ask you to make another decision. God says, I'll help you. I'll always help you. And I tell you, God will help you now, whatever that you're facing. Look at verse 43 now. Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters. In other words, Rachel and Leah are mine. And I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but were they his? No. Did Jacob work for them? Yes. 14 years for both of them. No, these are not yours. I served you. I purchased them. And look what he says. He says, and these children are my children. No, they're not, Laban. This flock is my flock. No, God gave them to Jacob. And all that you see is mine. No, they're not yours at all. And he says, but what can I do this day to these my daughters and to their children whom they have born? You know what the answer is? Laban, you can't do a thing because it's all over, because the God who is for me and who will always help me, he's the one who's provided all that I need. And he says, now therefore come, he says, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and he set up a pillar. And then Jacob said to his brethren, gather the stones, and they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. So Laban says, I want a covenant. It's terrible when family members don't trust one another, isn't it? And he says, and Laban called it Jagar, whatever there, okay? You know that word, Shahat Dutha. And that's Aramaic, okay, for witness heap. But Jacob called it Galeed, which is Hebrew for witness heap. They couldn't even get the right words out, okay? And Laban said, this is a heap of witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galeed. And look what he says, and also Mitzpah, which means watchtower, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. You know, it's hard to believe that Laban wants to make a covenant like this, because Laban is the one who needs watching, not Jacob. Are you listening? Yeah. And look what had happened. He says, here's the covenant they're making. Laban says, if you afflict my daughters. You know, isn't he a hypocrite? I mean, I look at that and I'm going, Jacob has always been good to your daughters. He says, if you afflict my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters. Let me ask you a question. How many wives did Jacob want? One. He wanted Rachel. That's the only one. Leah just happened to get in there, if you know what I mean. And so, listen, although, he says, listen, besides my daughters, he says, although no man is with us, but he said, see, he says, God is a witness between you and me. And I want to say, you're right, Laban. God is going to be a witness there. And then Laban said to Jacob, here's this heap. Here's this pillar, which I've placed between you and me. And this heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I shall not pass beyond this heap to you, and you shall not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of the father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. And then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain, called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. And may I add that he passes out of the Bible for good now. And Jacob is going home. You know, Jacob came to the land of Haran, the land of Abraham, okay, where Abraham was called to serve the Lord. When he arrived, he had absolutely nothing. He had no money. He was penniless. He was all alone. 20 years later, he's leaving. He's rich. He has two wives. I don't know. I didn't say that to be funny, but but he's rich. And he's finally going home. Amen. What a man. Church, listen. I want this to be an exhortation to you, not anything but to exhort you right now. I don't know any other way to say it to you. It's time to get serious. You hear me? You know, if you only pray an hour a day, you've only prayed 7 hours in a whole week. That's not very much, really, when you think about it. And I know it's not how long you pray. Please don't think that. Well, I prayed an hour, something's come. Listen, you can pray the shortest prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me, by Peter, okay? That worked. So it's not about the length of our prayers at the time, but it's that we do actual praying. Amen? Not mechanical praying, but actual praying. Where we pray for the needs of others and whatever your prayer list might be, but where we say, Lord, help me to pray now. Help me to pray the deep things of God. Help me to understand the time that I live in. Don't let me be deceived. Amen? Tell me things that are really coming. Don't let me make mistakes. Don't let me go buy this if I don't need to. This is time to be serious in our prayers. And it's time for us to be hearing God. Amen? Amen. This is a very important year.